You're on the air.
Hello, morning.
Hi, good afternoon. It's 20 minutes after midday.
Good afternoon.
Yes, sir.
David, I thought you have read the letter that person sent you recently.
Which letter? People send me all types of letters.
No, a letter, somebody sent a letter to you based strictly on policy. I was hoping that you have read it.
Well, I must have come to the conclusion that it wasn't necessary for me to read it. You can tell me what was it. Since you know, what was the letter?
A friend of mine wrote it. I'll tell you about it another time.
All right, let me hear you. Oh, you're gone. Down the brass tacks. Hello? Turn your radio off, please. Yes, it is down to brass tacks, going until 2 o'clock today. Are you there? Hello? This person says, the unions are on the demise in certain categories of workers. Even here in the cities, as the employers' confederations run things. This is somebody who is writing to us from out of the United States. They say that the caller is perfectly correct. Employees are disadvantaged. We lived what the callers are saying here in the city. And this person went on to say that they had to do a lot of the battles themselves. And this is also useful to hear from people who are living in Canada, the United States, and the United Kingdom, how they have seen the unions move one way or the other. There was a time when trade unions were seen as very strong in this hemisphere, but a lot of that power is gone now. Down to brass tacks. Hello?
Hello?
You're on the air. Hello?
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Now, I heard you say something just now, a couple of calls ago,
mm-hmm.
about the unions, and I said, because I think about it this morning while listening to this program. And this call reflects something, I could say reflects something in me for a lot of years. I watch and read international news, okay?
Mm-hmm.
This union busting thing started with Thatcher. Remember when she broke the back of the miners?
Yes.
Then it went to the States with Reagan, with the air traffic controllers.
Yes.
And then it went right through the world, as they would say. Down here, I also heard you tell the man about that the people, employing people, excuse me, and putting them as self-contract or subcontractors or something like this, and they should pay their own national insurance, and they should pay this, and they should pay that. Again, this started a way back when. You remember Mr. Seals moved the place from St. Philip or Robert Street, where it was, and tried to up the hill there, up the Eagle Hall area. He sold all the trucks to the guys and tell them from now on, you're all on your own.
Okay.
So this is nothing new to me. I have been self-employed for quite a few years now. And I recently retired. I broke out of this, all kind of work, construction, all kind of thing with people doing this. And the first thing I decided when I came out of being employed, when I started on my own, is to contribute to my national insurance. Because today, praise the Lord, I reached 67. And every day, every month, I should say, by a certain every month, 26, 27 or so, I know my pension coming. Because you know why? I contribute to it. And this COVID problem has created a lot of problems in Barbados and in the wider world. But a lot of people here are suffering because of the COVID problem. They ain't getting nothing because a lot of people work, they kept money, they party, they do this and do that, and they didn't contribute to what they should do. Mm-hmm. And today, you know what?
Well, you have a situation where I'm gathering reports about Sandals. The report is that they have severed more workers. I've asked their PR person whether this is indeed true, and the person said, I have no comment at this time. All right?
I didn't say something to you about the same Sandals when that came here. I was a taxi driver. I was still a taxi driver, but like I said, I'm retired, okay? And I saw some of that sandals I saw creeping in from back in the old plantation years, because my mother was a plantation laborer. And just like the older days where you had to give names and give numbers and stand up, and them taking a whole lot of stuff at Sanders when they started out a year or two ago on this island. Sanders came into Barbados and reintroduced it to the island, had the security and the people at the front desk and the people at this place. And you know what happened? These people were demanding you and a person like me that's self-employed to give them my name and give them this again. I said, no, I don't. I passed that stage. And many times I had to stop saying, get put on the people and let the people walk in. But Barbados, it will be worse. That's all I can tell you. It will be worse.
All right. Thank you very much. Another emerging story is reported that George Pilgrim has resigned from the Democratic Labour Party. It was back in September that he ran against Verla de Pisa for the leadership of the party. And according to this report, you would be aware that the Democratic Labour Party is now having to deal with the previous story about George Connolly and Rodney Grant joining the Barbados Labour Party. Now, this one doesn't say that George Pilgrim has joined the BLP, but the report is that he has resigned from the Democratic Labour Party. So interesting developments there. And at the end of the day, the question is, what does all of this mean for the politics of Barbados? This is down to brass tacks.
Hi, Divi.
Yes.
How are you?
You can give me your headlines, because I'm sure...
I'm going to be very quick.
Mm-hmm.
The Democratic Labour Party needs to be very careful, because if they don't be careful, they're going to become a very irrelevant party in this country.
The Democratic Labour Party's problems, if we believe in the democracy that we are supposed to have, then the Democratic Labour Party's problems are our problems too.
It is. Because
I'm not going to be one of those. I'm not going
to
be one of those people.
I never want to see the day when Barbados is governed by one party. I never want to see that day.
Well, we are there now.
What I quickly want to mention to you, is it customary to have a celebration to take down a statue?
I don't know.
I want to say it quickly. I want to object quickly to us spending our taxpayers' money, right? To take down a statue of Nelson, I think, is a waste of taxpayers' money. That's what I wanted to say today, David. Thank you.
All right. Good afternoon. Welcome to the continuation of this edition of Down to Brass Tacks. The developments inside the Democratic Labour Party are worth watching. It would be surprising if Verla de Pisa is able to withstand what seems to be going on right now. Defections, you have this resignation. We wait to see what's going to happen in the coming days. Many people suggested that this by-election could have the effect of mobilizing the Democratic Labour Party. The outcome does not suggest that so far, but it could create a problem for Ms. de Pisa. We'll be able to see what happens in that regard. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Hello?
Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, sir.
Yeah, my name is Charlie Innes. I'm the father of Shanice Bickham, the two people that are missing.
Yes.
I only calling in to thank the people who turned out. Vision was my family, serving Parks' family, his work colleagues, schoolmates, and my work colleagues also. I just thanking them for coming out and being part of the search yesterday in Whitestown and St. Andrews. And I hope that other people who also have or know anything of the disappearance of the two people, my daughter and Sherwin Park, that they will come forward to the police or call the hotline to is the information that they have, or and if they see or hear anything from to the police.
Mr. Innes, this particular situation here is deeply disturbing for many people. There are Barbadians who are going to say absolutely nothing. And I think that's rooted more in fear than anything else. But I'd like you to share with us what this experience has been like for you and your family.
Well, it's very disturbing to me because I know I was part of the, can't remember her name right now, but the white lady that was missing. I was part of that search. And
that was quite some time ago.
Yes, and I it's very hurting to me because this was 5 straight days I didn't really eat anything. And she's my second oldest, and the oldest of the girls.
How many children do you have?
I have 9 kids in all.
Yeah.
I have kids in Canada,
mm-hmm.
and I have 3 here living in Barbados. And, you know, it's real, real touching. It's very hurtful. Nope. People calling me from all over, like Trinidad and Canada, America. People who know me from way back. Even my boss, from my old boss from Canada, I don't know how he comes to find out, but he called me Thursday last week.
Yeah.
And it is getting, I don't know what the police is doing. I didn't hear them telling me about any search, not their planning to do any searches or anything like that. I can remember then the lady was missing, they came out in their numbers. And I am not hearing anything from the police really about anything of the case.
So you're kind of disappointed in the way that they are dealing with it, clearly?
Yeah, yes, sir. Yes, I am. I am disappointed.
Well, what they need to do is, they may have good reason, but in those circumstances, perhaps they need to communicate with you a little bit more effectively, so that you could at least have a sense of where you are in relation to all of this. But from where do you draw your strength in these circumstances?
Well, I draw my strength from a lot of church members and a lot of very close friends that, keep calling me, finding out if I'm okay, encouraging me to eat, drink, get rest. Because sometimes I go to sleep like 3 o'clock in the morning because I get so much calls from different people I'm studying. Because every time someone called me, it's like they're going back all over again. So it's very hard. It's very hard on me. Very, very, very.
To what extent has it made any difference to the relationship with her mother? Because she too must be going through quite a very difficult time.
We need to always talk. We never stop speaking to each other. We always talk. I visit her at her house in between once in a while. I know the mother really isn't taking it that good. I had a force her to come out yesterday. She didn't even want to come because it's really, really taking a toll on her. Her pressure's high.
And then there is the situation with respect to Sherwin Parks. And are you in touch with his family?
Yeah. I speak to his mom. We communicate regularly, I can remember the first night I went to visit her. She couldn't talk. Someone was talking for her, although she was right in front of me. She was just crying through the whole conversation.
This is painful, though. This is exceedingly painful for the country as a whole that something like this can happen. And truth be told, we've had other situations in this country in recent times that have left us in a state of shock about what has happened, And I ask you to speak a little bit about this, because we talk about a missing peer. We talk about the search and all of that. But it is the human dimension. It is what people actually go through on a daily basis in these circumstances that we need to relate to. If you're still there, because I suspect you might be, are you still there, Mr. Innes? I think you got cut off. In those circumstances, though, I'd love to hear from you if you can call back, or we will try to reach you to get your sense of where you see Barbados today. What is your sense of the direction in which the society is going? When you put that in the context of your own personal experience, this is down to brass tacks. We will try to make contact with him again. And if we do, we will hear him a little bit more. That's Charlie Innes. He is the father of Shanice Wickham, one of two people missing now for over 2 weeks here. Down to brass tacks. Hello?
Good afternoon to you. How do you do?
I'm well. Good afternoon.
Mr. Ellis, I miss you from off air. You okay now?
Did I indicate to you that it was less than okay?
I don't know if you were. No, I'm not.
I was on leave, but I'm okay.
Well, I'm glad that you enjoy your time, whatever. I just hope everything's okay. Well, I call two things I have to say this afternoon. It's a life as a fisherman, according to my uncle, it's not really easy out there, right? They have to risk their life out there with the sharks and all sorts of elements, you know? And my grand lost her brother at sea, as well as her nephew, right? Because we are Philippines. We come from the East, you know? And that's how our family really made our money. And it's very hurting to see that those fishermen went out there. And next thing you know, the pirates attack them and carry everything and all, do all sorts of things out there with the poor men.
That's a regular occurrence?
Those things aren't, you know, those things ain't really fair, you know?
Is that a regular occurrence?
I don't know, right?
You make it seem as though that's something that happens regularly.
I am not aware of
that kind of piracy happening off Barbados with local fishermen with any degree of frequency.
I don't know, but it is sad. But I tend to think that fishermen need to take out some insurance and protect themselves and their families.
It depends upon the extent to which it happens.
Okay, that's true too.
Okay, yeah. All right. Thank you very much. Down to brass tacks. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, welcome.
Same to you, David. I want to weigh in on this situation now in St. Michael's Southeast, where the Prime Minister has, we call, embraced the former DLP candidate, Rodney Grant.
Yes.
And what really surprised me was she said that, reading it here, she said that she didn't drag them across with the BLP as the DLP dragged Mr. Wood. But yet, in Rodney Grant, I want to deal with Rodney Grant, I don't know the other guy. And his response to the press, he said that this is months now that Miss Motley has been had approached him. So which means she brought him into the fold. So this is what they call a matter now of inclusion. But he asked this question. What significant assistance could Rodney Grant really render to Barbados or to the Barbados Labour Party? Remember that during Wanafa's tenure as Prime Minister, he put millions of dollars into Pioneer Development Council, of which Rodney Grant was a director. He was also given a lot of contracts building homes. It was about $5 million that Wanafa put into the bank so that the residents could borrow money and help the lot. He also put money into NCC, National Housing, to cut down on a lot of rents that the people did owe. Now, after Onafa did all of that, for 2018, he leave and went and ran for the Democratic Labor Party. Anybody within reason, as Barbadians prove, that the Democratic Labor Party was under a lot of pressure to manage the affairs of the country. So I'm asking this question. Why would she go to solicit help from Rodney Grant? If the Prime Minister believes that the people in St. Michael's Southeast...
But you supported Rodney Grant in that period too, didn't you?
Me?
Uh-huh.
Not me, Mr. Ellis. Not me.
You never supported Rodney Grant?
I spoke on this same platform that we are engaging now, where I denounced him in support of Santa Bradshaw.
You never supported him?
Never supported him. I born and bred in the Pine, and I know a lot of things that a lot of people would not know, and I don't really deal with the people's character. I'm dealing with the performance of people when people are looking up for you for
Fair
this
enough.
Type of guidance and this type of help.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm against anybody who is misusing this trust, because you could clearly see the acting president made a statement, and I totally agree with her. It is for me to judge if she's an opportunist or not, but the cards is on the table. But I will tell something very significant about this whole exercise. The Prime Minister of Barbados knows fully well that the present representative of St. Michael's Southeast is not, as a matter of fact, let me put it in other words, there is a lot of discord, disunity, and mistrust in her performance. And she sees it now fit to bring Rodney Grant, who has been rejected by these same people who you're accustomed to being with, to do what? She knows people throughout the length and breadth of the constituency are not comfortable with Santa Bradshaw's performance.
Yeah, but in all fairness, I mean, this may well be succession planning too. You can never tell. You and I know full well, notwithstanding the things that you are talking about, that Mr. Grant has for a long time had a footprint in that particular constituency. He's been pretty close to Hamilton Lashley over the years. And in the same way that we have seen the Prime Minister deal with St. George North, it is quite possible that she may be looking at this in the distance, recognizing she may know things that I don't and that you don't. So on the point about Mr. Grant losing, look, there are people in this country who ran three and four times and then won. So you make believe that losing once is such a big thing.
Mr.
Same person that lose today can come back and win tomorrow.
I agree with that, but what I'm saying to you, the people in St. Michael's Southeast knows fully well, and I can speak on the behalf, that as far as they are concerned, he would never enter the House of Assembly on a ticket coming from St. Michael's Southeast.
But you're speaking as though, you know, God talking on this matter.
Listen.
You can't be so sure about these things.
When the Prime Minister speaks, it seems as though that she's God that's speaking. So either
well, it depends upon who's listening.
No, but you are telling me now.
You sound as though your word is gospel, and therefore it can't change, and you don't accept that.
Listen, you have to accept it. The facts are there to be seen. The facts are there. Because I know fully well, and the people know fully well, or if you say, for instance, that you don't want somebody to push these programs, how could you trust somebody who abandoned you and come back again, because this is only a part of being an opportunist, and come back again now after 2 years just so that they want to be in the fold with you, and you bring them. But yet, a person like Mr. Wood, who had been close to the Barbados Labour Party in the economic affairs of running of this country, you could put him to be a chairman of BADMC. And this is showing you fully well, because I get a lot of complaints from a lot of people in different districts, that this is real stupidness that is going on in this country.
What aspect of it is stupidity?
Well, let me show you. That part, Ronnie Grant, is stupidity as far as I'm concerned, to the highest level. That is stupidity. And there's a lot more that you can speak, but can't speak it here. But I'm saying to you, when you do that, what you are telling the other people.
Which other people? The BLP people?
No, the BLP people that have been supporters of you and the Barbados, their party, for all these years. What are you telling them? As you were talking about a succession plan, why you didn't look for a fella at 40 or a woman at 40 or something so and start to groom them? What succession plan you could be telling me about this?
Isn't this another concept, another evolution, right? The evolution of the politics of inclusion?
The thing about it is this here, right? The last election, the speech was made that the all representatives get more votes in a particular area, a particular box that never before had happened. And we know where the area is. And we know that while Mr. Grant was going to you big up within the community, it was only one or two particular areas that people could say that about. Otherwise, the people down there don't really know Rodney Grant buying so many papers. And we know that. But when you get from Golden Rock way to there down to Princess Royal, we know how the people feel and how the people know, because every minister, not only minister, every representative, we found that was lured into one particular area, and the rest are like little ants waiting till the crumbs drop. And these things are unfair to the people in St. Michael's Southeast. And the people in St. Michael's Southeast are going to rebel against this type of treatment. Don't forget, just after the election or just before the election, pictures was in the paper where the prime minister was saying how he's looking like a shanty town and this thing and that and all sort of thing. And don't care how you try, to talk to the representative about the pressing matters of the area. It's only here they've had the flooding book there that she came about. Otherwise, she don't come around. So when you put in one breath that is succession planning, I'm saying if you making a plan to suck somebody, see, it has to be a younger individual, whether man or woman, I don't care who it is.
All right.
But why you going back to this here who have thrown filth in your face already?
All right, sir. You've had an opportunity to air your view on the matter. Thank you. Down to brass tacks. Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Yes.
Is this Mr. Innes?
Yeah, you got cut off. I just wanted you to give me your perspective generally on what, you know, what's happening in Barbados. Know that it touches you directly now, but when you look, even prior to this, before this, what was your assessment, and how does that assessment change in these circumstances?
Well, to be honest with you, I know that the police have the manpower, the equipment, they have a lot of technology now than 10 or 5 years ago that they have at their uses right now. And there's a lot of things they know they could do. I don't know if they're doing it because they're not speaking to me, but I know they have a lot of equipment that other countries have passed on to them, that give to them to do their work. So, like, tracking the phones, getting information from the phones, I know they have that equipment. But it's what they're really doing, because they're not coming out. And I don't know that they even give a press conference on this matter. So I really don't know what's going on. I'm at loss where they're coming from.
Well,